This morning our scripture reading is Luke 10, 38 through 42. I wanted to preach a couple of messages on this passage, emphasizing the importance of our, at the beginning of this year and throughout the year, of spending time, making it a priority to spend time personally in God's Word, in prayer, and fellowshipping with God. So there'll be a couple messages on this passage before we return to Galatians. We begin the reading of God's Word at verse 38 of Luke 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." Let's pray and ask God the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and to enlighten our minds regarding this passage of Scripture. Heavenly Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten us, enlighten our minds to understand this passage of Scripture as it relates to the necessity of spending time with you while we are serving. We pray, our Father, that we would see the good portion is to feast on you in fellowship through your word, through prayer, so that you would examine our hearts by your word, and that you would stretch our minds in the knowledge of your word, and so that we would be led into a deeper fellowship with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great obstacles to cultivating a growing, deepening personal relationship with Christ is we live life in a blur. We live at high speed, hyper speed, and the images are constantly flickering across the screens of our minds. Our culture is hyped up, supercharged. We go from one surge of adrenaline to another surge of adrenaline. You can even get yourself all kinds of drinks to keep up with your adrenaline. We are busier now than we were a year ago, and we'll probably say next year we were busier this year than we were last year. According to James Gleick, we're witnessing the acceleration of just about everything. So you ask yourself the question, as a follower of Christ, where then is the time for you to nurture your soul before God? Because if there's one thing you can't accelerate, it's growth in godliness. You can't just live from one moment to another moment, going from one event to another event, to one work activity to another activity, and expect that you can have instant godliness the way you go to McDonald's and try to get instant food. God's path of growing closeness to Him, of a growing closeness to Him that changes us more and more into the image of Christ, comes as we plant ourselves in the Word of God and in prayer regularly. So we need the solitude and the silence of seeking God in His Word and prayer in order to grow in Christ's likeness. God is the one who delights in revealing Himself to us. God is the one who has taken the initiative to come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ to restore us to fellowship with Himself. The purpose of our salvation is not just forgiveness of sins. It is certainly that, but it is a growing relationship with God in which we glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And for us to increasingly be transformed into the likeness of Christ takes solitude. It takes time. It takes feasting on the Lord in His word and prayer. The story of Martha and Mary is actually about the necessity of the priority of sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to Him while serving. Jesus isn't saying, give up serving to sit at my feet. Serving is a demand Jesus makes on our lives. We're not just to value it, He demands it. But nothing is more important than fellowship with Christ. Nothing. So while we are serving the Lord, the soil out of which that service is to grow is a personal fellowship with Christ in His Word, in prayer, hearing it, listening to it, reading it, privately and publicly. So here we have two women, sisters, in whom the Word of God has been actualized. They are followers of Christ. They have very different personalities. They have different gifts. And Jesus is going to emphasize to both Martha and Mary how vital and important it is that we sit at the feet of Jesus as the basis for service. So how can we cultivate a closer relationship with Christ? Well, the first thing we need to realize as the Lord unfolds this for us, this passage, is the Lord gifts us with different personalities and different gifts to serve Him out of the rich soil and deep foundation of constantly drawing closer to Him. You know, this struggle of sitting at the feet of Jesus is not new. Even before the fastest culture ever, this was a struggle. This has been a struggle from the beginning of time because it's a struggle of priorities. What is most important to us? What is most important in our lives? And we see this in the story of the two sisters who are both, they're both close friends of Christ. Don't diminish Martha. Martha loves Jesus just as much as Mary does. And even though there are problems with her attitude, in her service, Jesus never says Martha does not love Him. These two sisters have very different personalities. If you look at verses 38 and 39, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him at her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teachings. Okay, so their character types are not hard to recognize in women and men today. Joanne Weaver wrote a very good book on having a Mary heart in a Martha world. And she writes, Mary's bent is sort of meandering and smelling the roses. Martha's bent is to pick the roses, cut them at an angle, put them in a vase, and lay them out. It's not surprising that these two women have two distinct ways of serving God. Mary's bent is to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to His words, to serve Him with her mind. Martha's bent is to serve Him with her hands, to serve, to do. to provide hospitality to him. So Martha served God with her hands in this passage, Mary serving God with her mind. Both sisters want to honor Christ. Both sisters want to serve him. There's some problems with Martha's attitude, as we'll see, but we do her an injustice if we fail to recognize she's seeking to honor the Lord. Like Mary, Martha deserves our affirmation as a godly woman. She's a godly woman. And Jesus loves them both. In fact, in John chapter 11, verse 5, what does Jesus say? He says he loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. So Martha is very responsible. She might be the type that always volunteers, make sure things are done to high standards, her standards. She might be one of the 20% of the 80 that does the work for 80%. You might call her the hostess with the mostest. So as soon as Martha hears that Jesus is coming, all of her domestic instincts kick into high gear. She welcomes him into her home as an honored guest. But even perhaps as she gave him the best seat in the house, she's already thinking through her mental list of all the things she needs to get done. Because to have an honored guest like Jesus, the teacher, in her house, she wanted everything to be at its best. There's a lot to do to get ready. There's cleaning, there's buying, there's chopping, there's getting ready, there's washing, there's cleaning, there's cooking. So perhaps she's a whirlwind of activity at this point. What Martha failed to realize in her busyness is that Jesus wanted her fellowship more than he wanted anything else. Jesus is approaching the time when he will begin to be thinking more and more about Jerusalem and the cross. A light meal with fellowship with Jesus would have been much better at this point. Because the Lord is approaching the pivotal time of the cross. Martha is right to give this kind of welcome to the Lord Jesus Christ because hospitality is one of the spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. We are told to show hospitality, seek to show hospitality in Romans 12:13. If you read 1 Peter 4, 8, 9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied gifts. Martha used her gift of hospitality to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other gifts in the body of Christ. There's teaching. There's being an elder. There's being a deacon. There's service. There's evangelism. There's a gift of pastors. There's a gift of missionaries. But this is one of the gifts. And she wanted to shine that gift in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We know from other places in the Gospels that Jesus liked to visit this home. And perhaps it was Martha's hospitality that attracted him so much. So while Martha's busy getting everything ready, what is Mary doing? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Her focus is not in the kitchen, it's in the living room. She's giving Jesus her attention by listening to him teach her. Teach his word. Jesus, it's not what she's going to do for Jesus so much at this point. It's what Jesus can do for her. So in dependence on the Lord of glory, she sits at his feet and draws near to him by listening to every word he says and every truth he speaks in order to draw closer to him in fellowship. While Martha's preparing a feast, Mary's having one. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, feasting on his word. But it's not only attention that's emphasized in this passage, it's submission. To sit at the teacher's feet in that culture implied complete attention to his words, meditating on them, listening to them, applying them, and submitting to them. She opens her heart and her mind by the power of God's Spirit to the Lord of glory teaching her in his word. And she submits to it. We need to realize this is very countercultural. No woman was permitted to sit at a rabbi's feet in this culture. In fact, women were told that they had diminished minds and were not valued enough to sit at the feet of a teacher. And Jesus is exposing that erroneous understanding by permitting, encouraging Mary to sit at his feet and to learn of him. Because after all, theology, learning about God, is what all men and all women need to know God. And Jesus will tell her in this passage later, tell Martha, look, Mary has the better portion, Martha. Why? Because she's giving herself to me in attention to my word and in submission to it. So then, point number two here is our service for the Lord Jesus Christ can lead to distraction from Jesus if we don't draw closer to the Lord through growing attention to the Word of God and seeking him in prayer. So unfortunately, you know, this heartwarming scene of gracious hospitality and instruction in the Scriptures was soon disturbed by a storm brewing in Martha's heart. As Jesus said, she is anxious. There is an idolatry in her. Anxiety is when it turns into interrupting the Lord of glory teaching her sister and correcting Jesus by telling him what to do. Her anxiety reveals an idolatry. She's letting her service come between herself and the Lord, which is a temptation for every minister of the gospel, anyone involved in Christian work, and any work we do. Our service and activity can become between us and a growing relationship with Christ. The cloud of anxiety and agitation is soon to burst in Martha, and some very angry words will come out. So understand, there's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing, but there were some problems with her attitude in which she was doing it. And that's the point Jesus is making. We should be careful to notice that these are problems all too common in God's people who work hard for the Lord. It is possible to serve the Lord as Martha did with a bad attitude, with an unattractive attitude that can turn ugly. Martha is guilty of at least three sins. Number one, distraction. As Luke tells us, she was distracted with much serving. Now, what does that mean? Well, Martha was guilty of inattention to the word of Christ. And because she was not heeding and giving attention to fellowship with the Lord and His word, she was distracted. The Greek word means dragged away. She's dragged away from her focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. This implies that Martha was doing or wanting to do one thing. She began with wanting to serve Jesus, but ended up not serving Him in a Christ-honoring way because her attention was not focused on Christ. She was dragged away from the Lord. That's what distraction means. First, we're attracted. We want to serve the Lord. We want to honor Him. We want to glorify Him. But because we're not feasting on the Word of God while we do it, because we're not letting the Word of God examine our hearts as we do it, because we're not praying as we do it, our focus is turned away from Jesus Christ. Martha had lost her focus. And it was her service of all things that distracted her from Jesus. With her strong sense of duty, Martha had a list of all the things she had to do. They were all things she wanted to do for Jesus. But she caught up in the doing so much, she lost sight of Jesus. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, great preacher from the 19th century, her fault was not that she served. The condition of a servant is becoming to a Christian. Her fault was that she grew burdened by much serving so that she forgot Him and only remembered the service. Martha's ministry was keeping her from Jesus. How easy it is to get distracted when we are serving the Lord. We begin serving because we're attracted to Jesus and want to show our love. But instead of feasting on Jesus in His Word while we're serving, we get distracted. And when that happens, self-pity enters. So the distraction leading to self-pity. You know, we get involved in helping children in ministry because we want to help them. But then we have discipline problems and we forget the entire reason we got involved in that ministry in the first place. Or you get so busy in preparing the Word of God so that all you do is prepare the Word of God for others, but you don't personally spend time with God, revealing Himself to you through His Word. So you grow from distraction to self-pity. Or we can get so busy and caught up in what we're doing as parents, raising our children, as those who are working wherever we work, or in ministry in the church, so that we don't even pray and bathe what we're doing in prayer, and we can't expect God to accomplish much of anything if we don't pray. Distraction to self-pity. Look at the passage. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to Him and said, Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? Tell her to help me. So then you have this self-pity. Martha thought of all the things that needed to be done, and she became overwhelmed with them and began to feel sorry, so that the problems loomed large. The work was overwhelming. And she began to tell Jesus His business. You tell that lazy sister of mine to get into this kitchen. vindictiveness. That's a result of self-pity. We only think of how hard the work is instead of rejoicing in the privilege to serve. We only think of how overwhelming our situations are because we think everyone else should have the same priorities in serving as we do, self-righteously. And we begin to get angry when we think other people aren't doing what we think their priorities should be. And we begin to feel sorry for ourselves and say, I'm the only one doing it, Lord. Distraction leading to self-pity. And when we're at that state, we're really serving ourselves. Because Jesus is not our focus anymore. We're thinking of what people are not doing that they ought to do, and we become critical and fault-finding. And then that leads to resentment. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. So in other words, she begins even to usurp the place of God in Christ by telling Jesus, you're part of the problem. You're encouraging my sister to sit at your feet and learn when I have all this work to do, and you ought to tell her to help me. All of these sinful attitudes go together. There's distraction because we're inattentive to the word of Christ. There's self-pity. Since we're no longer focusing on Jesus, we're focused on ourselves. And then there's resentment. Unkind words that flow out of our mouths, that come from our hearts. There's a tendency in all of us to focus on our particular area of interest and to give ourselves completely to that area of interest so that we neglect even the Word of God for our personal growth. The benefit and blessing of planting ourselves in the Word of God so that as we're serving, we're being captivated by a growing knowledge of Christ's love for us, a growing knowledge that God is sovereign and He's in charge of our circumstances of serving. He's going to accomplish what He wills and what He wants, because it's that exposure to Christ in His Word and in prayer that corrects and preserves us from finding fault and being critical towards others. And there are times in our lives we even say, well, you know, I've neglected to spend time with Jesus. I've neglected God's Word. It doesn't seem to really affect me. That's a very dangerous thought to have. But then self-pity creeps in. Rather than rejoicing in the promises of God, because of the difficulties we're facing, we can begin to grumble and complain, and that leads to resentment. Don't let your service for Christ distract you from Christ. And you will not be distracted from Christ, nor will I, if we constantly expose ourselves to God's Word and prayer and be absorbed by God's Word and come to God's Word to be changed. We don't tell God what He's going to do when we come to His Word. God tells us what He wants us to do. God changes us through His Word. And then finally, repent of your sinful worry, read, meditate on, and cling to the promises of God in the areas you're controlled by sinful worry. Now, how did Jesus respond to Mary's complaint? Given everything she was doing to get dinner on the table, her request for a little help would seem more than reasonable. But Jesus knows her heart, just as Jesus knows my heart and your heart. And what does He say? But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." Notice what Jesus did not do. He's not taking sides in this way. He didn't send Mary back into the kitchen. He didn't even say, "Martha, you should be a lot more like your sister." He didn't even seem to say she should stop doing what she's doing. Jesus didn't disapprove of her activities per se. He disapproved of her sinful attitudes in doing those activities. And He disapproved of the fact that she was not taking attention, making time to spend with Him. It's important to see Jesus loves Martha and Mary the same. The gentle, loving rebuke, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're fretting about so many things." Jesus shows His love to Martha by identifying a sinful idolatry in her life. She's anxious. She's anxious about many things. The word means she's torn apart, and it's a result of her not trusting in the Lord's Word. So He's gently and lovingly exposing this sinful idolatry in her life. She could not stop worrying about all the things that had to be done and let it go in order to spend time with Jesus. Her self-appointed responsibilities were keeping her from the most important priority: to give herself to Jesus by listening to Him. And I think we can all relate to that in some way. There are times we find ourselves feeling sorry for ourselves because of the difficulties in life. There are times we find ourselves snapping at the little things in little ways because of the much serving, the anxieties of life. And at that point, we really need to examine why we are so anxious, because self-pity and a sinful pride often reveals the idolatry of anxiety. And at that point, what we need to do is remember and go to the promises of God, because the promises of God cover every anxiety. If you're worried about how people think of you, you need to remember and go to the promise of God that you're accepted in Christ. If you're worried about, you know, how am I able to provide our every need, and most importantly, that you alone have provided eternal life for us, your life in our souls through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we partake of your supper, we pray that we would anchor ourselves more deeply to what you have accomplished in your saving love for us And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember and go to the promises of God, because the promises of God cover every anxiety. If you're worried about how people think of you, you need to remember and go to the promise of God that you're accepted in Christ. If you're worried about, you know, how am I going to make it tomorrow? What does the future hold to me? We must remember that nothing in all of creation, the present or the future, can separate us from the love of Christ. If we're worried about where our provision is going to come from, how we're going to get it, we need to remember God's promise, "My God shall supply all your needs." We need to fix our hearts and our minds and our wills on God's Word by spending time in God's Word, feasting on the promises of God. So what do we see so far? What we see is Martha and Mary, different personalities, different gifts, but the same need. They all need to give themselves, they both need to give themselves to God's Word. They both are called to serve, but while they're serving, they must be feasting on Jesus Christ. And we also see the Lord's love in forcing Martha to examine her heart so that Jesus would give her a repentance of sin regarding anxiety and a renewed understanding that the real problem in her life were her anxieties that can only be met by the promises of God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rich and precious promises of your Word. We pray, our Father, we recognize in Martha ourselves, because we too struggle with keeping our focus on you. We too struggle with the self-pity that can come out of not giving attention to your Word, and with the resentments that can easily pile up in our lives because we're not responding to you in faith and trust, not spending time with you, being captivated by your sovereign power and by your gracious love through meditation on your Word. Give us grace, Lord, to turn to you constantly and repeatedly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.